find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them's a thick-ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into Primetime.
Hello.
Or it must be a Wednesday. Look at that. It actually works today.
What?
Well, sometimes no matter what day it is, I'll just say it's a Wednesday.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me pressing the hello button. So I press hello when we come in on Primetime, but it's hot corner. So I was like, should I press hello? Yeah, I'll press hello.
Well, hello.
It's a split show.
Hello.
Hello.
So what are we doing here? It's weird. It's light out. I don't know how to do this. Like, you look really strange behind the glass because there's like shadows behind you. And
yeah, this is called Drive Time.
Drive Time.
And you are now hosting on Drive Time today.
Drive
until Time. Until 6:30. Yes.
Drive Time. Yes. Am I driving?
You are driving right now. You're in the driver's seat.
Holy goodness. The seat is really high. I feel like I'm in one of those like F-350s, you know, those giant trucks you see driving around.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then it parks and takes two spots and the guy gets out as the size of me. You're like, why'd you do that, man? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, because I needed to assert my dominance on these empty parking spots.
Just
got to
make sure you people know.
Don't park next to me.
I sit really high in this chair. I feel like I'm sitting higher than normal.
For those who have not seen Patrick, he's short.
I'm short.
Yeah.
Although you wouldn't tell by this deep, burly voice. I really hope there's somebody out there that's like, man, that guy's got to be like 6'4", 270. I bet you could beat up Cam Cleland.
And then they see you in real life and they're like, oh, you're up to my shoulder.
Him and Joe Fisher would be a good fight.
Yeah.
Joe'd probably whoop him. He's gangly.
Yeah, probably. He's quick.
Yeah. He's younger.
Yeah.
He'd be like, don't hurt me. Yeah.
I'm the one who's 6'4", 270.
There you go.
If you were confused.
Are you really 270?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I might even be a little more than that right now.
Oh, really?
Holiday season.
I have no idea what, like, larger people weigh. I don't mean, like big, like, fat people. I mean, like, if you get over about 5'10", 5'11", I have no idea what you weigh.
That's a large portion of the population, too.
I know. Well, I've never been part of that population, so I have no idea.
Yeah, it's tough for me because I hold my weight pretty well. It's pretty well proportioned throughout my body.
Yeah, you don't look 270.
And I have really, really, really broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I can put on a lot of weight and not look like I'm that heavy.
Nice.
Still makes me feel bad, though.
I always think of like, I always try to like correlate it with athletes, you know?
Yeah.
So you like, you know, LeBron James is 6'8", 270. I'm like, oh, okay, people that are 6'8", weigh 270. No.
No.
People that are 6'8 weigh like 325.
And still look pretty good.
Yeah. He's just chiseled.
Really, really chiseled.
Yeah.
You got to look at like, what was Vince Wilfork? I'm going to look him up. Because Vince Wilfork was...
He was tall, though.
He was huge. He was... He's not tall.
Oh, really?
He's 6'2".
That's tall to me.
325.
6'2", 325?
And that's how you get that kind of a belly.
Whoa. And his wife loves him more than anyone on this earth.
I hope so.
Well, no. Have you like seen her at games?
No.
Oh, she's like the biggest Vince Wilfork fan of all time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I like supportive families.
Yeah. She's like, that's my husband. Back off. I'll fight you. It's like, and your husband's 6'2".
Other ladies are like, I didn't really want him.
Yeah. Or... Yeah. And she's like, of course you didn't, because you saw me. I know. I wonder if you're 5'7", what are you supposed to weigh?
Oh, well, you're talking about like BMI, body mass index, which makes every human on earth feel bad.
Generally? Yeah, just generally. Like take that mass index and add like 20 pounds. I mean, I drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, probably like, you said 5'7"?
Yeah.
I don't know, like 190, 200?
Oh, really? That's
I don't know.
Awesome. I got like 20, 25 pounds to spare on that.
Maybe I'm really wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at obese America and saying that's normal, but yeah. I don't know.
I think I'm probably the biggest I've ever been in my life.
You don't appear it though.
That's awesome. That's really great. I run into people all the time. They're like, man, Patrick, you look great. Are you losing weight? I'm like, nope, up 10 pounds since the last time you saw me and still not working out. Yep. I don't run. As Charles Barkley used to say, I don't lift weights because they're heavy.
But you don't eat. I have now seen you at restaurants many a time. Mm-hmm. You are a hunt and peck eater. Mm-hmm. All your calories come from beer.
Yeah.
All of them.
And sugar. I don't eat a lot of sweets either.
Mm.
Try not to.
That's good for you.
Yeah. Although the restaurant life, that soda is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try not to drink a ton of it, but you just take a little shot here and there.
Gets you a little caffeine.
Yeah, I don't put a lot of caffeine in my body, so I like to pretend that it works, even though I'm pretty sure I could slam like a 22 of Mountain Dew and pass out 10 minutes later.
The texters in the Better You Today text line, Mike has a reverse problem. He can't tell how small people are supposed to weigh. 5'7" should be 150 to 165.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
Okay.
I think I'm like 175.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. But, you know, I drink free beer all day.
All day.
Like, what am I supposed to do?
Say no?
I know. If I drink, like, I don't know, let's say, probably drink anywhere from 4 to 6 pints of beer a day.
Wow.
I'd probably pay for 2 of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of beer.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, when I go to the doctor, I'm honest.
So they think that you're lying low and that you actually drink like 12 beers a day?
No, I tell them. I'm like, hey, man, don't multiply this. I'm being brutally honest with you.
Right.
I work in a brewery.
Like other patients say to them when they have 2. Trust me, man, like I'm being brutally honest,
3
too.
3 cocktails a week, and it's like, fool, you have 5 a day. No. Yeah, yeah. It's like, hey, man, I drink a lot of water. I get some sleep. I try to eat a few things here and there. Some rabbit food.
Literally.
How funny. I should just go like vegan.
No. Don't do that.
It probably wouldn't be that hard. I don't eat that much.
Yeah, but then you lose out on so many foods that you even eat a little bit of.
That's true. I do like cheese a lot.
Yeah.
Although fake cheese is getting better.
I think, can't you have cheese if you're vegetarian?
Vegetarian, sure, Mike.
But not vegan?
Well, where does cheese come from?
I don't know how this works, man.
Where does cheese come from?
Milk.
There you go. Yeah. Where does milk come from?
Cows.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, and goats.
I don't.
And sheep.
I don't know how this works. I've never even thought about it doing it. I just eat.
I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Okay. Then do it.
I've been vegetarian multiple times. It's not bad.
I want to see you try vegan.
Man, but cheese. Well, not all beer is vegan, though. Like, very few beers.
Well, let's do vegan minus the beer.
Okay, there's like this tiny enzyme that is used in beer that comes from fish.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's super weird.
All right. I want to see it. Let's try it.
When do I have to start?
Tomorrow.
Oof. Oof. Okay.
No, I'll give you till January. Okay. I'll let you enjoy the cheese of the holidays, okay?
It's not a New Year's resolution, though.
Okay.
Because that I don't believe.
Just a test. Let's see.
Just a test.
Yeah.
Man, this worries me.
Don't be worried. You talked about how easy it would be. You shouldn't be worried.
No, I said vegetarian's easy. I don't know about
You said vegan.
Really?
Yeah.
Check the tape?
You said, I think being vegan would be pretty easy for me.
Whoops. Vegetarian wasn't bad. It was just the smell of bacon. Just gets you every time.
And you work at a restaurant that serves bacon.
Well, and it's like, when you're hungover, what's better than like a just fat, juicy burr? Not much.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so hungover. Can I please get that no cheese vegan salad dressing salad? I really hit the spot right about now. I
really need some tofu right now.
Hey. I'm not a vegetarian and I eat plenty of tofu.
Yeah, but not as a hangover killer.
No. Well, I do get in on that pho.
Okay.
For a hangover killer. No, but I put meat in that.
Of course you do.
Of course.
Because you're an American.
Not a savage. Oakley Doakley. Well, we're here on primetime today filling in for Isaac and Sue. Thanks for joining us. We'll be here till 6:30 and then pregame for the Ducks versus University of San Diego will be on at 6:30. So we'll be here for the long haul. Thanks for joining us. We got a lot to get to today. It's going to be some fun stuff. We'll have Hump Day NFL stuff at 4 o'clock. Hot 5 at 5 as always. And couldn't have Mike and I on a show without talking a little bit of baseball, as this is actually kind of a fun time of the year for baseball. So we got all that coming up. We'll talk a little Blazers, too, because, you know, maybe we'll say some things everybody else is too afraid to say it. Right? Maybe. Who knows?
That they kind of suck.
Yeah. And by kind of, I mean, like, a lot. Was that the segment?
No.
Boom. Done. Talked about Blazers. We're moving on. You can always text in the Better You Today text line 55305. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. You can also find us on the social medias. Mike's at MikeLynch27 on Twitter. You can find me at PDiddy085 on Instagram. Also, if you haven't heard, check out the Beers on Us podcast. Drops every single Thursday. Mike and I host a podcast talking about beer in the industry and kind of informative and chatting about stuff in the Oregon scene, but also kind of the grander beer scheme. You can find that on radio.com, 1080thefan.com, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all that kind of jazz. When we come back, big news in the college football landscape that might change the way playoffs are decided, and we'll do that next. This is Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
317 here on The Fan. This is Primetime. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris sitting in for Isaac and Souk. Isaac will be back tomorrow. I think Souk's donezo for the year, right?
Yeah, Souk's on vacation until January. And as long as Rop is healthy, he was sick yesterday, which is why we had a best of at the last second. As long as he's healthy, he'll be back tomorrow.
I love the man to death, but boy, I feel like he gets sick a lot.
What's funny is we actually talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I just got the flu. Souk's been sick like 3 times in a month. This is the first time Rob's been sick in 6 or 7 months.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
His immune system has been infused into our bodies, and he now is a golden child of health.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of a buddy. I got a buddy who gets sick all the time, but that's because he's a germaphobe. I don't know if Isaac's a germaphobe. But
I don't think so.
But he's a germaphobe, and he gets sick all the time, and he's a teacher. I'm just like, buddy.
Isn't the whole point of being a germaphobe to not get sick because you're constantly cleaning? Or is it he's doing too much cleaning so his body can't fight anything?
Well, I think they go hand in hand. I think if you're too much of a clean freak, you don't expose yourself to enough.
Oh,
like I ate dirt as a kid, and therefore I am invincible.
Are you?
I never get sick.
Really?
Never.
All that dirt, good for you.
Yeah, probably because I don't eat and drink too much alcohol.
You don't drink too much alcohol? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Okay, okay, okay. All right, well, so some fun stuff that kind of came across the post today. According to an article released on The Athletic from Nicole Auerbach, starts talking about the college football playoff system and basically how it's time. You know, it's been kind of a hot topic. Everybody's kind of been, we've been, basically once they came out and said we're going to go to a four-team playoff, that's when the discussion of it should be 8 started. I don't think we ever got through a season where it was like everyone was on the same page. Oh, yeah, let's try this thing out with 4 and 7. No, I think everybody since the beginning has wanted 8. And it seems like, according to this article, that there's actually been a lot more ground made on this as something that could happen as soon as, I don't know, next year.
Well, let's not go too far.
Maybe not, but it's something that they want to make happen sooner than later.
Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, Barry Alvarez, former Wisconsin athletic director, as well as he was on the college football playoff committee.
Mm-hmm.
The West Virginia athletic director, can't remember his name, no longer Oliver Luck, but the guy who replaced him. And then a former Big 12 commish whose name is, if I can find it, I'll find it in a second. He came up with the system that a lot of these guys are coming up to support and to back for an 8-team playoff. So it's big names in college football that are basically saying, hey, pay attention to this. This is a smart idea. We're not getting enough respect for all the conferences. Chuck Nenas is the guy, or Nenas, N-E-I-N-A-S, who came up with the system. They're basically saying, hey, it's SEC biased. It has been since it started, and we think that it would be better for the sport if we brought in an 8-team playoff.
Yeah, and Barry Alvarez is quoted as saying this, everyone has the same feeling. Expansion is inevitable. So it's kind of one of those things. I feel like when they made it at 4, everyone still thought expansion was inevitable. So why are we waiting?
Because
I guess is the question.
There's a long-term contract in place with ESPN. It's like a 12-year deal that ends in 2026 or something like
but
that.
But I would argue they're the problem. Like, that's the reason why this is a broken system.
ESPN?
Kind of, yeah.
I don't think it's ESPN. I just think that.
But who else,
I also don't
who
think
else pushes the SEC bias?
It's the committee. I think it's the committee. But I don't think it's a broken system either. Like, I think it works. It's better than the BCS.
I guess it's not broken. That's true.
It's better than the BCS.
It just could be improved upon.
It's been fun. It's added a lot of intrigue to the end of the season. I frankly think the bowls have gotten to be too many and really boring. So I used to love bowl season. Now I kind of don't. And I just pay attention to the New Year's Six bowls and some of the other good ones that kind of crop up around Christmas
what
and New
bowl
Year's.
Is your team in?
Right, exactly.
Maybe there's a good matchup, like a Florida, Michigan, something like
Syracuse,
that.
Syracuse, West Virginia, yeah. Camping World Bowl. Will Greer's not playing, so Syracuse is going to win.
Wazoo, Iowa State.
Ugh.
I know.
I don't want to watch that.
Whoops.
I think it's a good system, but you're right, it has flaws, and it could certainly be improved upon. I think since year one, we were all excited about it year one.
Well, because we finally got what we've been yelling for a decade.
And you watch the system, and you like that there's a committee similar to college basketball, and it's fun. And then the first year comes out and you're like, well, wait a minute. Why did they pick these teams? What about teams 5 and 6? Why were they left out? And, you know, they have their explanations. They have one guy every year who's the mouthpiece, and he comes out and he talks to the media.
Right. I actually think this year the four are the right four, probably. Right.
And Rob Mullins this year is the mouthpiece. So, you know, you listen to Rob Mullins speak, he explains why those things happen. But that first year, you kind of got opened up to the idea of, why did we stop at four? Why didn't we go 6 or 8 or 12 or whatever the case may be? And we've been having this conversation for years, and it's gotten so much resistance from everybody in college football. Like, no, 4 years. It's such a long contract. Bill Hancock, who's the executive director of the college football playoff, has always come out and staunchly said 4, 4, 4. That's what the deal is. We won't even look at it until the end of the contract. And it's nice to finally see some people in the sport saying what a lot of us have been saying for a couple of years now.
I would agree. And I think you brought up an interesting point that I kind of want to touch on right now is you mentioned that going from 4 to 8 would maybe put a shot in the arm in the bowl system. Am I quoting you correct on that, Mike? Because the bowl system is a little lackluster these days.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would put a shot in the arm. The other bowls, I think, would become even more relevant.
Well, that's what I was about to get to.
But it would make the other games better.
We basically get 4 more good bowls.
Yeah.
And then now you're really only watching your team.
Yes, for sure. Because I don't need to watch Louisiana Lafayette play Memphis in Shreveport.
On a Tuesday at 1 o'clock in the Bahamas in front of 20 people.
Yeah. Although, see, with those games, I will often watch them because what else are you watching at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday?
That's true. I mean, it's 3:23 right now. What are you watching?
Whatever was left on from Joe, ESPN.
I changed it to...
Charlie Morton just agreed to a deal with the Rays.
I know. I saw that. Are they going all in?
I don't know.
I'm watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That's what I'm watching. Charlie just got the golden tiki. Found out that the...
Is it the original version?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Paraguayan dude forged a ticket and... Charlie's getting Grandpa Joe out of bed.
Nice.
Yeah. I like to think that's Joe Fisher when he gets older. Grandpa Joe. Why not?
I'll take it.
Joe's a little short for Grandpa Joe, but so I think it's interesting. I wonder, that's where it all kind of starts. Like if they started with 4, you know, I want to know what the reasoning was. And I'm sure there was articles written back in the day that had it, but I would love to recall what the reason was why to start with 4. Was it like a training ground, or was it they felt that it will sort itself out? Because, I mean, like I just said, I think this year has sorted itself out. If Georgia goes in over Oklahoma, I'm watching Georgia-Bama again 2 weeks in a row in theory. I don't want to do that.
I don't know if I remember exactly right. I think it was partially if you do more teams – A, it's bad for the athlete because you're adding more games than they're used to because you have to play through a playoff system. Again, maybe not logical because other levels of college football have a playoff system where there's a lot more teams. So, it works and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other one they used as an excuse was the actual student athlete thing because there's finals and there's, you know, it's the end of the semester.
Right.
So they're saying, how could we put these kids through multiple games if they have to take finals? And
guess what? They don't.
Right. That's kind of one of those like BS arguments because, you know, you close the door and go, we're going to give them their grades for them anyway or something like that. Right.
Good job. So you got a B minus.
I think I remember seeing those as arguments for 4. Also, they probably just didn't want to muddy the field that much. And they were basically saying there's really only 4 great teams every year, which sometimes has been the case.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally there's been 6 that have been worthy, et cetera. But I think that's probably what they said.
Yeah, and then even though there's 5 power conferences, that somebody is going to, in theory, show that they're not that good. Like, take Notre Dame out of the equation this year because they're not in a conference. Ohio State probably would have jumped in.
Yep.
And so that would represent 4 of the 5, and the Pac-12 was kind of trash. So that makes sense. So maybe that's where they came from?
It might have been. I'm not 100% sure, but if you expand the playoff system, you don't have this question about Ohio State or
right.
Georgia, frankly.
Yeah.
You have an avenue to prove that your conference was actually good or you were that good in your conference, even though like Washington would have a chance this year to prove if it was 8 teams that, hey, the Pac-12 wasn't that bad. It might have looked bad or there might be bad perception, but if they, I guess they'd probably be playing Bama or Clemson, but if they play a good game, there you go. Oh, well, maybe the Pac-12 wasn't that bad. It gives each conference a chance to prove themselves, which I like.
Yeah, there's an interesting quote in here again from Barry Alvarez. He says, I don't know whether we're serving all of our people now when you have some leagues, our league, the Big Ten, as an example, 2 years in a row, we don't have anyone represented. The Big 12's been the same way. The Pac-12's been the same way. So, I mean, that's three conferences that have the chance of five of not getting in. I mean, I think that's a fairly legit argument.
It's a wake-up call for a lot of the conferences, too.
Yeah, if Oklahoma doesn't get in and they put Georgia in, I mean, that's two conferences.
Yep.
And Notre Dame.
Yep, exactly. And that's where, and I think a lot of the people in college football saw that now. And they went, whoa, 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 whoa. If Notre Dame lives up to the hype like they should and they're independent, they'll get in all the time. And then all of a sudden, and because there's an SEC bias, and there is, mm-hmm. you can be frank about that, it could just be a couple of conferences. And then we're left out. I mean, it's not like the Rose Bowl is a bad thing, but.
Well, ask Oregon fans. They think it's a bad thing.
But Ohio State. Wow, look at that shot.
It is a shot.
But Ohio State and Washington would love to play in the playoff.
Even,
I mean, the Rose Bowl is great, but they'd love to play in the playoff.
Yeah, I agree. When we come back, I want to keep talking about this. There's a couple different directions we go. I do eventually want to kind of, I don't know, sneak peek at what, if it did go to eight, what it would look like this year. I think that would be a little fun. We can even mock pick games if you want to see, because I'd be interested to see if it's still the Final Four is the Final Four.
It might be.
You know?
It might be.
So that could be fun. But when we come back, I want to talk about how this would actually work and some of the implications and some of the ideas floating around about how to potentially eliminate a very important game in these standings. We'll do that next. This is Primetime with Harrison Lynch. But first, here's Mike with sports.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Tried to be subtle about my dig at the ye olde Ducks, and text line got me, and so did Mr. Fisher the Third.
Subtle? Man, it was just, not subtle.
Just repeating what D'Anthony said. That's all. Just remember that as a direct quote from a player. I think the interesting thing in this, and this is where I'd be very interested to find somebody non-biasedly to tell me why we should stay at four instead of eight. You know, it's kind of like one of those things. We all agree.
It seems so obvious.
Yeah, it seems so obvious to me. I believe we should go to eight. I think a lot of people feel the same way. But in order to make things work, I want to know why we shouldn't. Like, give me a good reason. Because as a decently reasonable human being, I would like to think that I would listen to that and take that for what it's worth. And I think one of them is, for the most part, the four teams get it right.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yep.
Sure, you know, this guy, but I think for the most part we get it right. Has a four ever won? Yeah, Ohio State did, didn't they?
Yep. And Bama was a four, although they might have lost to Clemson that year that they were the four. Remember they lost to Georgia in the title game and then they flipped.
And they still snuck in?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so I think that would be it. So I'd be interested in that. But I think the real controversy, so to say, about this article that came out about how to do eight teams is Chuck Nenas, who's a former Big 12 commissioner. When talking about the 18 playoff, his idea is to eliminate, basically end the regular season after Thanksgiving, which is rivalry weekend,
yep,
and eliminate conference championships.
Yes.
Thus saying, you know, hey, you know, basically the Pac-12 championship goes down to Wazoo UW because both teams had better records than anybody in the South. You know, they were obviously at the top of the North. UW beats Wazoo. They have the tiebreaker. They're the conference championship.
Yes.
Kind of like how we used to do back in the day, which I was always a big fan of, but that's old school Rose Bowl days. So that's what they're talking about. So to eliminate the conference championship. Now, the question is I feel the conference championship weighs so much in these voters' minds that is that something you can actually get rid of? We were talking about this during the MLS Cup when Kyler Murray won the Heisman. You were showing me the odds of Tua winning the Heisman. And it was like dominating, dominating, dominating. Right before the conference championship, his odds were still very high. Conference championship goes down, and all of a sudden, Kyler Murray's your Heisman Trophy winner. So my question is does the committee and do things like the Heisman value conference championships too much to get rid of them?
I think that's a really interesting question. And the answer is probably yes. But if they look at it honestly and say, if we eliminate the conference championship game, we're guaranteed a spot in the playoff, maybe that's enough to get them to change it. Because like we're seeing...
Wait, say that again?
If the conferences look at it and say, if we remove the conference championship game, we are guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff, maybe that's enough for them to say, okay, we eliminate the conference championship game because their best team will then be represented on the stage with seven of the other best teams in the country.
Say Ohio State's at number four and they lose to Northwestern, then the Big Ten's out.
Basically.
Yeah.
Right. Or if we've had this bandied about from a couple of people as well, you can keep conference championship games in, but you do the Power Five winners of the conference title game, two at large, and the group of five team, which is similar to this system, but this guy's eliminating conference championships to make the timing better.
Yeah, that's what it seems more of a logistics, not necessarily adding a game.
Right. But if that
those teams would be playing an extra game anyway.
But let's say Northwestern beat Ohio State. In that system, Northwestern's in the college football playoff.
Yeah. Say Utah beats UW.
Yeah.
And Utah jumps in. No offense, Utah was a good team, but when you lose your quarterback and your running back late in the season, like, you ain't going to do well.
No. And I think, although that's a cool story, I think we as fans would want the best teams of the best team of or the best teams of each conference playing each other in that new college football playoff. So I'm a little torn on that idea. I love conference championship week. I think it's really fun. I love how starting Friday through the end of Saturday, you could basically sit in front of the TV and watch really meaningful football that's meaningful because it wins a conference too. It's not just a random game, even if it was a college football playoff game. But an 8-team playoff is an ideal situation for me too. I want an 8-team playoff. And in Chuck Nienaes' idea, you get two at-larges, the group of five winner and the five conference winners without a conference championship game. Every year, that's going to be dynamite. The only team that might not be dynamite is the group of five team every year. Like, UCF certainly deserves to be it.
For
be
sure.
In it if it was like that this year. But like 2 years ago, it'd be Western Michigan. I mean, they're going to get slaughtered.
Right.
PJ Fleck and the Turdvilles are going to get slaughtered by whoever they play in the college football playoff. So,
but it doesn't have to be the best non-power five get in. It would just be two at large. So two
it was two at large and the group of five best record.
Well,
that's
right.
What the idea was.
Right, but your at large don't have to be one of them the best non-group of five winner. So you wouldn't have Western Michigan sneaking in because they wouldn't be in the top eight.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that would be gross.
In the system that this guy is putting forth, five conference champions, two at large, best group of five team. No matter what. So if the best group of five team was Western Michigan, which it was 3 years ago, they would be in the college football playoff.
Ugh, I don't like that.
Or Fresno State, right, or something like that.
Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that.
I do like that.
I don't like that.
I just know that won't be the best game.
I don't like that because if you don't have a UCF, then that's going to be an awful game.
Yeah, but
like
it
if
also,
Bama's the one seed and
it gives that team
the 23rd
a chance
ranked Western Michigan to get blown out.
Yeah, but it gives that team a chance to have an upset, and it's like, oh, good job, group of five team, you did it. Here's your golden ticket, Willy Wonka, and you can go ahead. You can go ahead and get a chance to win.
I do think this is an interesting question brought up on the Better You Today text line 55305. And speaking of the Pac-12, which would actually resonate throughout all major conferences, so do you get rid of the divisions and everyone plays everyone in the conference? Because then what's the point of the North and the South?
Sure. I would be okay with
that.
It would also
force the SEC to play nine conference games.
Yep. I also think you kind of already do that anyway in the Pac-12. Like, you only miss two teams a year in college football.
Yeah.
So just make it all one conference again. I that's exactly what would happen. You would eliminate divisions from all conferences, and it would just be Pac-12, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, SEC. That's it.
Interesting.
I think that because in certain leagues, hell, in the Pac-12, the South this year sucked, right?
To be fair, the South almost always sucks.
Unless USC is good.
Yeah.
So when you put it all together, then the Pac-12, it doesn't have this big disparity. It's just, hey, these teams are good at the top, and these teams are not.
Yeah,
same in the
true.
SEC, the ACC. You know, Clemson is far and away the best team, but the other conference is awful. Like, Pitt won it this year.
Yeah.
Pitt. So
watch out. Joe Fisher's listening.
It'd be good to put them all together.
Well, yeah, I agree. But, I mean, it also – I wonder if it will also – I don't know. I've got so many things going through my brain right now. I don't know where to go. One thing that worries me, though, that I guess I do like about – the college football playoff, and I know a lot, I've taken a lot of heat for this, and I understand I'm in the minority, and I understand the reasons, but this is where I stand. I still like the idea, and it's probably because I grew up a Pac-10 kid, that if the Pac-10 is not going to get into the college football playoff, that the Rose Bowl is still on the table. And I like the idea of, you know, if Wazoo wins the Pac-12, we're going to the Rose Bowl. And that, I think that would hurt things like the Rose Bowl.
That is
that
true.
That would hurt the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, Fiesta, unless they were sites for the playoff. But well, even that, it hurts that because now it's just a playoff site.
They would guaranteed be sites for the playoffs. And again, in this system, if you didn't get a chance to read it or you don't have The Athletic, the first round games are being played at the home stadium of the higher seed. That's another important note. And then it goes to what we have now, four teams, and then the championship, which would be with the bowl games that we're using now.
That is an interesting thing that the higher seed hosts.
Yeah. So it's an extra home game for that team. It gives them a benefit for being a higher seed.
Can you imagine that? I want to hold off on that because next I want to look and see when we come back. I want to see if we did this before conference championships. They've got it drawn out on this article on The Athletic. If we did this before conference championships, this is what the top eight would look like. And this is the games you would see in the venues you would see. And they're pretty, pretty interesting. There's some juicy, juicy stuff in there. And we'll do that next. This is Prime Time with Harris and Lynch.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Better You Today, text line 553-305. Excuse me. A couple fun things coming across. I want a UCF-type team playing in the playoff every year just to shut them up, prove yourself.
That was part of my point. Ends I like that conversation. Because it gives that team a chance to say, hey, we deserve to be here or not, right? Or, oh, crap, we lost by 40. Maybe we didn't deserve to be here.
Yeah, also maybe add conference championship games to the playoffs and six best at large play each other. Eight losers go to bowls, winners advance. I mean, now we're looking at 16 teams.
Wait, what?
Or something, yeah.
So the conference championship is part of the playoff?
Yeah. And that gets you into the playoff?
With other at-large teams?
Yeah.
But what happens to the losing team that's also...
Like, no, I think what it's saying is basically all conference champions would go to the 8-team. To the 8-team playoff.
Okay, so you keep the conference championship games...
They're just an extension, basically.
Right, but that's what we were talking about last segment, is that gives you the chance of Northwestern beating Ohio State, again, just an example, to make the playoff. And then you don't get one of the best teams because of one game.
Yeah.
Which I don't love.
Yeah, plus I don't want to see Northwestern in the college football playoff.
Unless they're 12-0 or 11-1.
Right. I mean, I'm speaking this season specifically. I love people like, let's go back to the old school way. How about we just get rid of the playoffs and just have big bowl games again?
Go back to the BCS.
So UW can still brag about their co-national championship in 91 where they would have gotten smoked by Miami.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we could go back to that.
That we could. Look, I'm telling you, man, I am loving this idea. I really am. I'm not 100% sure on getting rid of the conference championship games, but if that's what we have to get rid of to create this system,
yeah,
I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think I am too. There's just so much to it.
There's a lot to it.
There's a lot to it.
And you're not going to make everybody happy no matter what system you pick.
Right, right. But it's trying to find the best of the best possible situation.
Yes.
And I mean, if you ever listen to Hot Corner, if you ever hear me talk about sports, I mean, I am a sucker for nostalgia. I am that kind of cranky old man that likes things the way they used to be. So, I mean, whatever you're going to do, I mean, going to a playoff changed the history of college football forever. Going to an 8-team is just going to do the same thing again.
Yeah. But I'd argue that you're also improving it.
Yeah.
Right? It adds more intrigue to the month of December and January.
Yeah. Another text that comes in, whatever happened to the four regional super conference idea? That would be a big one. If you had four regional super conferences, that might be the better one.
And then let's put promotion and relegation in.
Oh, yes. Stop. Mike, my sports pants are getting real tight over here.
I've talked about that. I did a segment once with Rop on that very idea of promotion and relegation. This was a couple of years ago, where the bottom four teams in the Power Five and the top four teams in the Group of Five have to swap at the end of every year.
That would be
and get
so,
placed into the most relevant conference.
That'd be so awesome.
It would be amazing.
Watch Oregon State win like the D2 national championship next
And they
year.
Come right back up and win two games in the Pac-12.
That would be super fun. But that would make sense, though, because if you had four super conferences and then four at large and you got rid of conference championships, would make sense to me.
You could do that.
Because then you would be playing the best of the best. You know, like, I think the ACC is pretty garbage. No offense to your Cuse, but it's like Cuse, Boston College, kind of, and then Clemson.
I mean, normally it's Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech. That's normally the top four.
Right. But
this year,
not so much.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be fun in this article. They kind of list and they kind of put stuff out as to what the playoff would look like had it been this way this year. So your top eight in this order would be Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Georgia at four because they wouldn't have lost to Alabama, Oklahoma at five, Ohio State six, UCF seven, and UW eight.
So your matchups would be Bama, Washington, and Tuscaloosa.
Oh, God.
Georgia, Oklahoma, and Athens.
Sexy. Super sexy.
Notre Dame, Ohio State, and South Bend.
Maybe more sexy.
And Clemson, UCF in Clemson.
Maybe the most sexy because you know UCF people would go up to Georgia.
Yeah.
South Carolina, to South Carolina to see that game.
Now, their quarterback, UCF, Mackenzie Milton, is hurt. So
right.
Very
right.
Ugly. But in terms of on paper, that looks awesome.
Right. And then the winners would go to the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl, and then we're back to the Final Four. So, like, let's
and that keeps the Big Bowls happy because they're still going to be rotating as part of the College Football Playoff,
right? And next year it'll be what, the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
So let's walk through this real quick. Alabama beats UW.
Yep.
Fair, right? I mean, unless Jake Browning decides to be freshman Jake Browning, which I don't think that kid exists anymore.
Nope.
The next game you have is Georgia-Oklahoma in Georgia.
Oklahoma.
I think I like Oklahoma, too, this year.
That's a little bit of a gut pick there, but Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that because I love Kyler Murray, but, man, I would watch that game.
Then you get Bama-Oklahoma again.
There's versus four already. Notre Dame-Ohio State in South Bend, Indiana.
I might pick Ohio State in that one.
I think I would, too. As much as I think they have been a hot mess this year, I'm not as sold on their QB as everybody else is. I mean, he has gaudy numbers. I get that. But I think I would probably take Ohio State in that game.
Yeah.
So then that would get Ohio State in. But that's where the Notre Dame thing throws everything off. Just get in a conference.
Well, and Notre Dame is really much better this year than they have been in the past.
Agreed. Let's not think of the Brady Quinn still getting blown out by Bama situation.
Right. Lenny Kakua, you know.
Yeah.
We're past that.
Clemson, UCF. I mean, I go with Clemson, but if UCF's quarterback's healthy, I mean, I'm watching that game.
Oh, for sure.
So then your only change is Ohio State instead of Notre Dame.
Right. But in three of those games, again, if Mackenzie Milton's healthy, Bama is beating Washington like 99 out of 100 times.
Without a doubt.
But Georgia-Oklahoma could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State versus...
Would the betting line on Georgia-Oklahoma be a push?
It'd probably be like, because they're at home, Georgia minus three.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State and Notre Dame would go either way, and I even think UCF-Clemson could go either way. So last year, I have an article that goes back many, many a year.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because
I was going to look last year, but they had conference championships, so I don't remember.
Right, but he does both. So last year without conference championships... Your 1-8 would be Clemson, UCF. Your 4-5 would be Wisconsin, Alabama.
Ooh.
Your 3-6 would be Oklahoma, Georgia. And your 2-7 would be Auburn, USC.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
I like that Oklahoma, Georgia. They're just stuck to each other.
Let me go back to the Oregon one. Hold on 1 second. So that would be 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2014, Bama, Boise State. Was the 1-8.
Yes.
Baylor TCU is the 4-5.
Gross.
Those years though.
Yeah, I guess that's
those
true.
Are the two teams who had the biggest gripe.
That's the Gary Patterson TCU awesome defense and
that
Baylor,
was the pre Big 12 title game.
And
here.
Baylor throwing the rock all over the place.
You have Florida State, Ohio State 3-6, and then Oregon would play Arizona because they wouldn't have a Pac 12 championship game. Arizona wouldn't lose. They'd play him in that game, 2-7.
Oh, whoa. So 2-7 would be like a de facto
Pac-12 championship. Yep.
Oregon does lose to Arizona sometimes.
Yeah, they whooped him that year, though.
Yeah. That would be interesting. What was the game before that?
Florida State, Ohio State.
And that's Jameis, right?
Yep.
Who's on Ohio State that year? Probably young JT Barrett.
Well, yeah, who was the quarterback who beat Oregon? Because that was the year they played each other,
Cardale,
right?
Jones? No, was I thought Cardale that was Jones? The year Jameis and Mariota played each other.
Yeah, and Oregon won and then lost to Ohio State in the championship.
Oh, that'd be Cardale Jones.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, yeah, because that's Herb's only title at Ohio State, right?
I think so, yeah.
Huh, interesting. I still think it's funny that a lot of this stuff would still kind of happen to four.
Right, but it would give a team the chance to prove that they belong, right? And when we went through this year just for fun, Ohio State beat Notre Dame, and for both of us.
Yeah.
So that gives Ohio State the chance to say, hey, look,
we should have got in.
We may have lost to Purdue by 30 points, but we're better than Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that's that. Keep your eyes on that. It'll be fun to see. I imagine something's got to happen in the next few years.
Oh, one final thought. I saw this come through on social media today. People were saying, oh, this just continues to ruin the regular season. No, I think this makes the regular season that much more important.
Yeah.
Because you have to win the conference. You don't get a conference championship game. The conference and all those games matter. You're right. Yeah. You probably have to go to 9 if you're every single conference now. Every one of those games is going to matter.
Yeah.
I think it makes the regular season that much more interesting.
And I actually think it doesn't hurt you as much by losing later in the season.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, sure, you get to play Bama now instead of UCF, but I don't think it hurts you as bad.
Yeah.
Which I think sometimes isn't fair.
Yeah, like, but yeah, what have you done for me lately thing? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we have NFL Hump Day to get to. This is the primetime edition with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.